In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, it's hard to believe that in just a few days we'll no longer be greeting one another with that joyous exclamation, Christ is risen, indeed he is risen. It's hard to believe that the Paschal season is almost over. This Thursday, though, we have a great celebration, the celebration of the Lord's ascent into heaven. And then we look forward 10 days later to the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, a high holy day. The church invites us, encourages us, bids us to celebrate this time, to rejoice in this time, to be filled with great joy. This is the season of Pascha, the season where we recall the Lord's triumph over death, over darkness, over hell, over the devil, over sin, over all of those things that weigh us down, those things which enslave us. And in this season of triumph, we truly rejoice in these high holy days. But we sometimes wonder, if we're to rejoice in all that God has done for us, why does this season ever have to come to an end? Why do we have to stop greeting one another with Christ is risen, indeed he is risen? The answer is, well, we really don't. St. Seraphim of Sarov would greet everyone he met in his life with Christ is risen. But we do it liturgically so that we can celebrate another feast, the feast of the Lord's ascent into heaven, and then the feast of the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And then every Sunday throughout the year, we continue to celebrate the resurrection, but we number our Sundays from that great Sunday of Pentecost, because it too is a high holy day. It too is of great salvific import for our lives. This season of Pascha, we know, was the season of great joy, was preceded with a season of preparation, a season, if you will, of even sorrow, a season of great Lent, and we remembered our sins, and we asked God's forgiveness for them. We remembered the fallenness and brokenness of this world, of the evils that we see in creation, of the evils that we see in our minds and in our hearts, in our broken relationships, in the wars, and the famines, and the pestilence, and all of those things that we see in this earth. We remembered all of that, and we sorrowed over it, remembering that we and Adam and Eve were the cause of these things. And we in our own lives have continued this evil through our sins. And in this season of Great Lent, we, in a sense, maximized our godly sorrow. That this season was given to us to contemplate all of these terrible, wicked and evil things, and to maximize our sorrow for them. And we wonder sometimes, if we're to be Christians and to rejoice, why are we even thinking about these things? Why do we even talk about evil or sin or death? Why don't we talk about it? Because we know we still experience these realities in this world of good and evil. But we still experience all of those things that weigh us down and enslave us. And yet, the church bids us not to remain in that season for too long. If it were any longer than it already is, I don't think we could survive. And it's not just about not eating certain types of food. It's about dwelling in this contemplation of our own brokenness and our sinfulness. We can't bear that too long. But the church bids us to deal with this because it is a reality. We have to deal with where we are. We can't pretend that there is no sin, that there is no evil, that there is no death. We would be living in a fantasy world, and we would be only awoken at our own death. And what a terrible time to wake up to reality at our own death. The church bids us to wake up much earlier and to prepare for these things, and to realize this sin and to repent of it. This we did during the Lenten season. And having made our repentance in as fully a way as possible, the church bids us to celebrate also in as fully a way as possible. This Paschal season was 40 days, from the Lord's resurrection to the Lord's ascent. And it's actually 50 days if you count till Pentecost. And then Pentecost we celebrate for 1 week, the week of Pentecost, with no fasting, just total, utter celebration. Not gorging ourselves, but celebrating. Celebrating. The church bids us to truly celebrate, to rejoice. Because all of that sin, all of that corruption, all of that death, those things that weigh us down, all of that has been dealt with by the Savior. That He's conquered these things. That He's overcome them. All the wrongs that we've done against Him, He's forgiven them. All of those passions that have enslaved us, He's freed us from them. He's made death into a passageway into eternal life. He's addressed every matter that we dealt with so intently during that Lenten period. And now we rejoice because our Savior has done what He was prophesied to do, to grant this salvation to us and to the whole world. These are times of great joy. The Lord told His apostles that when they would see Him rise from the dead, that they would rejoice with such joy that no one would take that joy from them. No one could take it from them. That they would have that joy forever because the final victory had been won. This is a time for joyous celebration, to remember all that God has done for us, to ponder these things. And as we come to the close of the Paschal season, we don't switch off the lights. We don't go from light to darkness, from righteousness to sin, from life to death, right? We don't just go back to ordinary life. There is no ordinary life anymore. We can't go back to the way things were before Christ, to the way things were before Pascha. We can't go back to life as it was. Life is new. Life is different. Everything has changed. We're called to live in the context of this resurrection. If you think about the image of a light switch, you know, when we get to the end of the Paschal season, we don't shut off the lights. We have a dimmer switch and we turn it brighter and brighter because we see the ascent of the Lord into heaven. We see the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. We see the work of the church. We see the salvation extended to all of mankind, which is actually what's happening today. That dimmer switch has been turning brighter and brighter throughout the centuries. And today it turns one notch brighter with the baptism of Damiana Seraphine. The light of Christ extends even here, even to our own lives. What a thing to rejoice in. What a wonderful thing to rejoice in. I want to share with you a quote from St. Justin Popovich. He talks about this eternal joy of Christians. Listen to what he says. He says, "Christians always rejoice, for evil, death, sin, the devil, and hell have been conquered by Christ. And since all of this is conquered, is there anyone in the world who can bring our joy to naught? You, O Christian, are the keeper of this eternal rejoicing as long as you do not give in to sin and turn back. Joy burns in our hearts from His truth, His love, His resurrection, and from His church and from His saints. Joy burns in our hearts also because of our sufferings for Him, mockings for Him, and even death for Him, insofar as these sufferings write our names in heaven." He says there can be no true joy on earth without this victory over death, because all temporal things pass away. But glory and thanks be to Christ, who has brought us resurrection and eternal life. The risen God-man Christ, the founder of the church, constantly pours out this joy into the hearts of His followers through the holy mysteries and through good deeds, the keeping of His commandments. Our faith finds its fulfillment in this eternal joy, and this joy coming from faith in Christ is the only true joy for mankind. Very profound, the words of St. Justin Popovich. Joy is something that we desire. There's not one person on earth who doesn't desire joy. No one wants to remain in sorrow. And it's this task of bringing the joy of Christ into the world that we've been commissioned with. This is the Great Commission, to take the good news to everyone who has ears to hear so that they too might rejoice. Not in temporal things that fade away, but in eternal things. And how much does the world need that? You think about, well, what brings joy to people today who are non-Christians, who don't have this eternal joy? What makes them happy? Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, going to the beach. You can be a Christian and go to the beach too, but for those who are not Christians, This is a highlight. Going to the beach, having a weekend off. Maybe your favorite sport team wins the championship. Maybe you get good marks on a test. Maybe all of these kind of things that we too celebrate in a limited way in this life. But this is the ceiling of celebration for those who don't have the faith in Christ, who don't have the knowledge of the gospel. And all of these things that are celebrated in the world, they fade away. They pass. That joy is temporary. It's fleeting. And that joy that they experience in these seemingly trivial matters of life is always mixed with that knowledge that it's not full, it's not lasting, that we are mortal, that it is passing away. And who can really rejoice in these things? Why would you want to go to the beach and have a day of temporary joy when you know tomorrow we're passing away? Who cares if you get an A on your test if you know that tomorrow you might be buried? Who cares if your team wins the championship when it's only a sport? These temporal joys cannot overcome the more significant sorrow that we have. And this is the condition of mankind, that these joys just aren't enough, that these joys are taken from us. They're temporary. And that's why the Lord says to his disciples, when you see me again, after I rise from the dead, that joy no one will take from you. That joy is eternal. And that joy gives joy to every other joy that we have. When we go to the beach tomorrow, we go to the beach knowing that, yes, it's temporary, but we look for a new creation, a new world, a resurrection. When we pass our test, yes, we rejoice in that, but we know that God is bringing us to even higher knowledge, to a higher truth. When our sport team wins, we say, oh, it's great, but we're winning the victory over sin, death, and the devil through Christ. Then all of these seemingly trivial things have a more authentic joy because it's not outweighed by that sorrow. That sorrow has been overcome. As we celebrate these 40 days of Pascha, as we look to the Lord's ascent into heaven, as we anticipate the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, let us be filled with this great, eternal, unconquerable joy. And let us be people who realize our commission to share this joy with everyone around us, with our children, with our family, with our friends, with our co-workers, our acquaintances, even the Lord commands us with our enemies, so that everybody's sorrow can be overcome, everyone's joy can abound, and the kingdom of God can extend from first century Palestine through the ages to Delmarva and to the whole world. Christ is risen.
Amen.